This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Johnson plugs it in for Aidan Flynn! They've done it!
Gregory is in the box, tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word! It's in!
You're listening to the number one pod for Sheffield Wednesday. This is the Wednesday Till I Die podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Till I Die podcast, a special episode for you all this week. You've already read the title, so you'll know what it is that we're going to be talking about. But I feel it's something that should be spoken about and probably isn't spoken about enough, if I'm being perfectly honest, and that's racism in football. With me this week to talk about that is lifelong Wednesday fan Maddie Kay. Maddie Kay, first of all, mate, how are you? All good?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. All good.
Yeah, all good. I can see you sporting the retro Wednesday shirt there. You've outdone me. I've just got a plain green t-shirt, so I should have read the memo, really. But yeah, looking good. Before we talk about racism in football, then let's get to know you a little bit more. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday fan, of course. What's your story been like then, following Sheffield Wednesday? And how did you become a Sheffield Wednesday fan? And kind of what's your heritage and upbringing been like then?
So I'm from the Gambia, so I was born there, came over to England about sort of 4 or 5, settled in Sheffield where my nan was, went to school, mainly played rugby, just from my upbringing, and then from school, really, like a lot of people and mates had come down, so close to being United. Well, first game was United. It was like, if you're African and you're Christian, you sort of grow up in the church. So our sort of vicar was a blade and took us there, but I didn't really enjoy it. I think it was some...
Thank God you said that.
Burning at home. Yeah. It was burning at home or something on a cold Tuesday night when I would rather be playing rugby at the time. And then when I went to Hillsborough, it just felt right. Yeah. And also all the boys were Wednesday fans and things like that. So you got to go travelling around with them. So probably started around... Let me think, what was it? Chris Turner.
Yeah.
Chris Turner era, then into the Paul Storrick, and then...
Christ, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, that you got hooked on it. How did you get hooked on Chris Turner's football? You know what I mean? Like, that was rough times, everybody.
It was rough times, but I think it's just... I don't know, you walk into Hillsborough, the blue and white, full stadium, just the size of it. The history behind it, and then you just get sucked in, the crowd and everything like that. There weren't much to shout about. Obviously, with Paul Storrick, it got a lot better, but I don't know. You just thought that saying, that sleeping giant, so to speak, because you look at some of the size of the teams in the Premier League and you look at Hillsborough and you're thinking, God, there's potential here,
yeah,
which hasn't really been seen, but, you know... you just get hooked on it. And then you obviously, you've got the history of it. Des Walker, Colin Palmer, Chris Waddle, Hurst, etc. Some of the great times winning the trophy and everything like that, and being in the Premier League. And you're like, this can happen again and I want to be part of it. Yeah. So that sort of sucked me in, really.
Yeah. So when did you come over to England then and kind of settle in Sheffield?
So I'm 33 now, so about when I was about 4 or 5. So we went to Brightside, just up from Meadowhall. Okay. And then from there we moved to Parsons Cross. And then from there sort of went to boarding school with rugby scholarship. So Mount St. Mary's, like North Derbyshire, and then Worksop College, then came back for GCSE. So so yeah, I can't remember what year that would be now.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Great. But
it's been a while.
Now let's kind of talk about, you know, racism in football then. You know, obviously, as I mentioned, I do feel it's something that does need to be talked about. Obviously, the events that happened during the closing stages of Sheffield Wednesday against Coventry game back in January this year, obviously being well documented, you know, when a so-called Wednesday fan made a racist gesture towards Casey Palmer. So we know it happens at football, you know, whether it's a one-off or a regular occurrence. I mean, I suppose only, you know, people listening can answer that as to whether you've witnessed it on other occasions and everything. But let's get straight into it and ask the question. Have you had any personal experiences of racism yourself, kind of, I suppose, either at football or I guess even outside of football as well?
Definitely outside of football, there's things like little microaggressions and things that you get where, you, for example, you're going on an away day down to London, you're going to get stopped and searched 3 or 4 times, even though you got off the coach with a bunch of Wednesday fans. Or, you know, you'll hear fans, so say we were going up against an opposition, they've gone in hard on our centre-back or made a foul. Suddenly it's not just a swear word, it's a black, then it's followed by a swear word or something like that. And then having to call it out is the worst bit, because I don't mind. I'm 6'3". I don't mind. I can handle myself. I don't go to football to fight. I go to watch the game. But if I'm going to call it out, suddenly I'll call it out and I'll look around to my so-called fellow supporters or people, whether it's on public transport, whatever. And I'm made to feel like I'm the one causing a ruckus or making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yet the person that has said it is fine, because he can just say, oh, calm down, it's just a joke, but it's not. So you have those sort of opportunities then. You'll have it where fans will have certain chants there that will go, because for example, you know, Wednesday, we've got the Die Die Piggy one, for example.
Yeah.
But you will hear that other oppositions, when there's a black player there, they'll get extra booing, etc. Every time he touches the ball, yet he's got no affiliation with a rival team.
Yeah.
Because he's wound the fans up, which is what started with Casey Palmer. You know, he wound the fans up because he was having a good game and we couldn't really lay a finger on him for a while. And then it just escalates. And then someone brings race into it. And you can call them out, but what, no one else, you're on your own. So I think that's the issue with it. And it makes you really feel uncomfortable because, like I said, came over to England, wasn't born here, but also got family here on my nan's side and everything. But when you start supporting Wednesday, it's like a bond with the city.
Yeah.
It's a feel with it, etc. You start seeing representation, you see. So when I started supporting Wednesday, I think the only black player was Johan Folley.
Okay.
And he was not great, but had his number on my back.
You said it, not me.
He was not great, but I think he had one good game at Plymouth away, and that was it. But
I think he went to Plymouth after that, didn't he, to be fair?
He did go to Plymouth afterwards, yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they saw him. They saw him have a good game and then thought, that's it, I'm going to sign him. And we thought, thank God for that.
Probably the best transfer we've done, but yeah. No, but he was, you know, that was the only player we sort of had, and it's grown from there. But I just feel like, one, we have a team of what? In the first team now, there must be 6 or 7, either on the bench or starting. And it's just, how does that make that player feel? We want to attract the best players in the country. We want to attract players to come and play for Wednesday. And are they going to do that when they're hearing that? And I know it's not, it's an insulated incident, but this season, it's not just been not taken away from race or anything, but we've had the Casey Palmer issue. We've then had the Bradley Lowry thing with our fans.
Yeah.
And then I think there was something else at Plymouth and then at Leeds where they were chucking stuff at the keeper and that.
I think it was the Leeds game as well. When I was sat in the north, there was there was an announcement over the tannoy to there was some sort of chanting. I couldn't really hear what it was that was said. I don't know if it was racial chanting.
I think
chanting
some of the Leeds fans at work that went were saying it was about them Leeds fans that passed away in Turkey.
Ah, right, okay.
Back in the day. Mm. But
it's just not on, is it?
That's not been Wednesday though. From yes, there's been incidents, for example, but I followed Wednesday for what must be 10 plus years now, but that's not, well, more than that, but you've not heard it there, or it's been isolated incidents. But this season, okay, yes, it is isolated incidents for that idiot that showed a photo of Bradley Lowry to the Sunderland fans and things like that. But it is happening and recurring, and you've got the people doing the Chancery Out campaigns. I don't know if you heard about it, but you know, when you're coming down towards the ground, they're handing out the flyers.
Yeah.
A few of them were spat at and things like that. So it's just showing, I think people are just taking it a little bit too far.
Yeah.
But in terms of what you said about racism and things, I've had it there where you've heard unfortunate chants, you're waiting there. So when, like I said, when another black player in the opposition goes in hard on one of our players, you're waiting for someone around you to shout out a racist remark.
Yeah.
So you're almost holding your breath for that. And it does kind of put you off it a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if you go to a game on your own and then you just sat there, just, you know, we don't have the most diverse fan base. I think it is improving. But the thing, what Sheffield Wednesday is, like I said, why I supported them, I went to the game, you felt welcomed, you felt safe. It was a community spirit. And that's what Wednesday is. But when you have these incidents of people doing that, and especially on a national scale, and obviously it will look bad when it's the FA Cup,
yeah,
and it's a bit more highlighted on it, and when it's a blatant photo, you can't... They said alleged a lot, which annoyed me, when it's quite blatantly there.
Yeah.
But I guess they have to do that for legal reasons or whatever. But, you know, this is a club that's got a long history of it. I think we were one of the first teams to have an England international play for us that was black. I think it was Viv Anderson was one of the first to captain England.
Yeah.
So we've got a history of having black players through, and not to talk about the other side of the city, they've had their racial issues as well, but they've had a history of black players as well all the way through. So, like, I don't know if you can see it there, but you've got that from Pete. Is it Pete McKee?
Yeah, Pete McKee, yeah. You can't actually quite see it in the shot that we've got.
You can't quite see it there, but those are the players there from Palmer, Mark Bright, Tomino, Carlton Palmer, and then Reader as well. Just some of the ones that he did through the Black Lives Matter thing during lockdown to show support for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall it has been a decent experience. But then you have certain times when, if we are doing take the knee and they're booing the players taking the knee,
yeah,
and I find that quite frustrating, because that's where the lack of education comes in. Because if you're booing that, it's, I can't understand. You might as well boo other events that we. You might as well boo something for a royal passing away or any sort of mark of respect that they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't see how a black player taking the knee has any effect on the game. Or
yeah, because
saying
what you want, it raises awareness, doesn't it, at the end of the day? And then what you want as well is, you know, people that don't know what it's for. Obviously, now they, you know, now they do. They ask the question and then someone says, oh, it's because of this, you know, raising awareness of, you know, you know, the racism football and kind of to stamp it out and everything else. And then, especially for kids as well, you know, kids aren't going to know what it's for, and they'll say, oh, dad, what's that for? And you'd like to think that the adult would explain it to them. And then gets that. It starts the conversation, doesn't it, really? Which
it starts the conversation.
As I mentioned at the top,
as
I mentioned at the top, it's a conversation that I think people find very uncomfortable to have, but it's a conversation that needs to be had and needs to be spoken about, you know. And one question I do want to ask as well is, how does it make you feel? Like, you know, when you said you sat there and you're just waiting for it and it's kind of off-putting, you're not watching the game, you're then just listening out for for something to happen, and I'm guessing invariably more than often it does.
Yeah, you do find that it just makes you feel uncomfortable, un-British, really, if I'm going to call it that. So you saw in it, not to bring it away from Wednesday, but you saw what happened with the Euros and Rashford, Sancho and Saka, right?
Yeah.
So after that there, you're around, they're all watching the game. Suddenly, the black player misses a pen or anything like that. It's go back to Africa, go back home. These foreigners are ruining our team, right? And it's not just England. You'll get it in France. When France lose, Pogba, the lot of them get it in the neck, right? Yeah. So it just makes you feel... Because it's a bit of a weird one for me, because obviously I was born in Africa and I have African family there, but I've raised here. It's all I've really known.
Yeah, when you come over at 3 or 4 years old, I've got no memories of being 3 or 4. So for
I've got no memories of it there. And when you go back to Africa, you can't speak the language because you speak English, so they call you the English boy anyway. So this is all you know, and you think, oh, and then all your friends are like, oh, you are English, but then you have something like that that just snaps it right. And bring them back to football, you think, I am Wednesday, I am this, I'm part of this this club, this community. And then you hear something like that and right snap, it's like, nah, you're a foreigner, you're not one of us, et cetera, et cetera. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
So, and I know people say, oh, just ignore him or he's drunk, he's this, but I feel football reflects society. So yes, in society, in the workplace, someone's not going to come up to me and say anything like that, because what if they did? They're bloody stupid. But doesn't mean they don't have microaggressions towards me or think. So in the workplace, sometimes I'm 6'3". I'll be okay if I'm playing rugby. That's a different story. It's controlled aggression. That's the game. But in the workplace, because of my height and my build, people will be, you know, if I'm speaking just normally as I am now, they'll be like, he's loud, he's aggressive. On a night out, if we're there, someone's fighting, I'll go in to try and split it. I'm suddenly the one who's causing the issue when I didn't do anything. Yeah. So you do have those little microaggressions. I'm not saying it's all the time. These are like certain points. But in terms of the way it makes you feel, it just singles you out. You suddenly realise you're one of maybe 10 black people in the COP. You are very outnumbered. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I feel threatened or anything, because I've been going to Hillsborough. It's home away from home is Hillsborough, but it does suddenly make you aware of it. Now, will I say it ruins the game? No, because I've worked hard. You've worked hard during the week. You go to the game. You want to enjoy it with the boys, have a catch up, etc. So I wouldn't say it ruins it for me, because I try not to let it, or else what's the point? But it does put a damper on the day or a sour note on it.
Yeah, but when you shouldn't have to feel like that, though, you should think, you? You know, you shouldn't ever you shouldn't have to put up with it. It's want of a better phrase. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that might be a coping mechanism, I guess, but you shouldn't have to do that.
I don't know. I think when you think with Kick It Out and things like that, like you said, it's been going on since 1993, but it doesn't seem to be taken seriously at all. And I know the clubs will wear the Kick It Out shirts, etc. They'll do some good campaigns on it. However, when you look at the nitty-gritty of it, I remember in the Euros, Nicholas Bentner, for example, just a blast from the past for you. So he scores for Denmark and he has these Paddy Power shorts on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Balotelli for Italy suffers racist abuse. Now, I can't remember what the team was, it might have been Croatia. If it's not Croatia, I'm not trying to degrade them or anything, but the opposition to there was caught had been racist to Balotelli, and the fine for the team compared to the fine for Nicholas Bentner wearing Paddy Power, I think the fine was like 80,000, let's call it £80,000, but for Nicholas Bentner wearing those Paddy Power shorts after he scored was £250,000 fine. Yeah. So that right there to me shows me they don't give a shit, pretty much. That it's been happening for so long. You see it with, especially on the big stage, I think it was Lukaku getting a penalty. He's got race abuse all game. The ref has heard it, yeah? And he's scored a penalty, gone up to cup his ear to the Calgary fans, and they've sent him off for aggravating the fans. So
yeah,
it's very... it's just shown time and time again that they talk the talk, but when it comes down to real punishment for it, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean,
and I don't know what the punishment should be. Should we just write, okay, you've done this to Casey Palmer, we're shut in Hillsborough for two games, no one in the stands. Now, I think that would work, but obviously it's sort of collateral damage for all the fans that haven't done anything.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? We'll come on to that in a second. You just mentioned there, you know, kick it out. We'll talk about that. You know, you said, you know, 1993, it was let's kick racism out of football. I think I can remember seeing that when I used to play Champ Manager. It used to come on the loading credits, kind of a picture of the pitch, and then the word kick that was kind of off the pitch. So I do remember it quite vividly. And then I think it was 1997 when it became an actual organisation. You know, since then it has changed its name just to kick it out, because obviously it's not just racism that they look at. It's, you know, all forms of discrimination within sport, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia as well that they're trying to sort out. I mean, it's great that there's things out there such as Kick It Out that are trying to make an impact. I mean, the only thing is, for me, we're 31 years on from when that campaign first started. I mean, in your eyes, I mean, you know, 31 years ago, you said you're only 33, so that was 2 years after you were born when that came in. But have you seen that much has changed in those 31 years?
I think it has changed, but there's still underlying things that are still there. So I think going to a football game in the 80s compared to going now is two different experiences.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, if black people did go then, I don't think it would be safe, because there are things growing up that you used to find where they would come into black areas and just come and attack you. Now, this is something that was more in the 80s. You heard about it since I moved to Leeds.
Yeah.
But you would, say a name, I'm not going to say it on here, but I do think it has improved and things like that. And you are seeing, you know, definitely at Wednesday, what I noticed since my first game, the amount of girls that are at football is insane in Sheffield, and how diverse it is. And it is trying. And then if you go down south, you will see a lot more. Obviously, there's a higher population of black people down south, so you will see them more into the games. It's just the way society works. But I think it has improved. But then certain times, what I'd like to see is the retribution for it be more severe.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be a first offence, so let's take the Casey Palmer one. First offence, right, this is the fine or whatever. Second offence, right, shutting the stadium. Third offence, points deduction.
Yeah.
You know, I think then, it's made me cringe about the points deduction a little bit there. But,
no, but you're right, though. Like, you've got to...
Well, if you do that, I guarantee it will minimise it. It will minimise it, certainly. So that's when I think it has to, almost like the three-strike rule, if we're going to say that, yeah? But then, I don't know, I think it's just something that's part and part of football, which is unfortunate and it needs to be stamped out. But it's something you watch, like, okay, even before being a Wednesday fan, we all watch England whenever they play in tournaments. And I know that you will have seen it whenever England used to play Spain, you would hear the monk, me and you could be sat at home, we'd hear the monkey chants, we could hear it. And the England manager would come out after the game and be like, he didn't hear it. Yeah. Now, for me, it would be like, if I'm sat at home and I can hear it, and I'm a kid, you can hear it. Your players can hear it. So I think that's, for me anyway, which is why I hold, I'm not going to go into his selection things with Henderson, etc., but he's one of the first England managers to come out and call it out.
Yeah.
To say he heard it there. And I think you think what that would do for a player that plays for England to be like, actually, my manager's got my back. He's come out and called and said, let's walk off.
Yeah.
Etc. So
I think that's what does need to happen as well. Like, and I think a lot of players as well do say that, don't they? You know, they do back it if something was to happen and a player said, this is what's happened in the stands, or even, you know, let's not forget, it could even be from another player as well. Let's, you know, I hope it isn't, but it could also be that, you know, that they would walk off, and you know all the other players would stand behind it. Obviously, in the stands, you're probably thinking, what's happened? But I think the vast majority of fans would also look at that. And when you mentioned some of the, the punishments and stuff like the fines or maybe shutting the stands down or points deductions or anything, I think what we've got to look at is, you know, your first reaction is, oh, well, that, you said it. It's not fair to the people that haven't done it. But then I think you also got to look at I don't want to say football is just a game because there's a lot of people. It's more than a game to a lot of people. But this thing's more important sometimes than just football. You know, you know what I mean? As important as football is to certain people, when you start to, you're saying that, you can stand up for yourself, but there's a lot of people that might not be able to stand up for themselves. And when you were saying that you're perhaps feeling a little bit uncomfortable, like that's not, you should never go to a football match. And as much as you said you're okay, you're not okay with it, but it doesn't affect you perhaps as much. Like, that, you know what I mean?
I'm going to stand up for it. When I say I'm going to stand up for it, like, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying I'm wanting to throw things. It's just I feel confident enough to call it out. I know there may be others who, other black fans there would be like, you know what? I don't want the fuss or whatever because I didn't come for this. And he'll be quiet or they'll move to a different part. So I get that.
Or they'll just not come to the next game, which is what you don't want, is it? You do not want people to feel like football for me is a release. I enjoy going every week. I don't go to many away games because of the kids and what have you, but I've got a season ticket. I go every single week. I look forward to the matches. It's something that at work, you think, oh, I can't wait. It's a Saturday at 3 o'clock, so I can go to Hillsborough. It's something that, I'd hate to be thinking, oh, I can't wait to go to the match, but I'm not going to go because I don't know what someone's going to say. Do you know what I mean? That's just like, you should never feel like that for me. I mean, do you think there's anything that can be done at club level? Is anything that the club can do?
I'd like to do at the club, because I found it a little bit frustrating. So with Darren Moore, for me, that was a dream, by the way. I didn't want Wednesday just to have a black manager for the sake of it. I wanted one that was actually, one that actually had it on merit, but also he was given a chance, which seems a bit of a shame now. Okay, he's gone to Huddersfield, he's not done that well, and now he's at Port Vale and not doing so great. But when he came in, he did the right things, united the club, we were really split. And things like that, but
one of the best managers we've had, Maddie, I would say, Darren.
I'm sad he's gone, and I'm not going to go over it like I did while Cisco was here. But you can enjoy at least he can whenever he comes to Hillsborough, he'll be welcome because of what he did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not only the promotion, just uniting the fan base with the club again. Because when he was there, we didn't really hear much from Chancery until the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I feel what the club could do is, I think they did it a little bit on Black History Month, where they showed, they interviewed some of the players and talked about some of the thing, and they did something with some of the black players. But I also think what would have been important is, when you're a fan of football, I don't have a favorite player just because he's black. I have a favorite player because he was insane.
Yeah.
So your Waddles, your Des Walkers, just to give two examples of players of two different backgrounds. But I think it would have been nice to be like, to hear from some of the white players and see what, their views as well, because at the end of the day they're a team.
Yeah.
And I think the shame with Moore, he didn't want to do the take the knee thing. I think they agreed as a club that's fair, but I thought it stopped the conversation at Hillsborough a little bit.
Yeah,
because I think because now it's almost, because we haven't done it for so long, when a team comes to Hillsborough and takes the knee, then suddenly you hear the boos like you did with Casey and things like that.
But
I think that sort of interaction, to share their experience on, when they're doing interviews and that. Now, the players may not be comfortable with doing that or may not want to do that. They may just, their footballers at the end of the day.
Yeah, but the conversation is uncomfortable, Matty. Like, you have to do it.
You have to be brave and do it. So I think that would be good, because then it's, because you can't, what I don't understand is, I guarantee that, I'm not going to call him a fan, that person that did the monkey gestures towards Casey.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
I guarantee a few weeks ago when we beat Hull and Gassama was scoring, was he doing that to Gassama? So I think in terms of that, I think having that point of view and making it sort of more of a human side. I think Joe, you know the Joe Cran from the Star?
Yes, yeah, of course. When they good
were,
friend.
Yeah, so when the players were on tour with Cisco in Spain and they were interviewing the players, it was, you had a more rounded view. Like, I didn't know Josh Windass doesn't drink and he's Red Bull crazy, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Getting to know the players and stuff, but having that side of it. So I think the club doing that and maybe, again, making something more focal. And it doesn't just have to be about race. So I think some of the announcements they've made recently about fans coming to Hillsborough and behaving pretty much. So maybe doing a bit more of a stance, getting the players out to say, you know, remember the Darren Moore message before the Peterborough game?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So having something like that, having Barry Bannon there as club captain saying, welcome to Hillsborough. Da, 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 da. We don't stand for this. You know what I mean? That we're an inclusive club. Back the team in the right way. Let's enjoy the game. Do you get what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
Just puts it in the former. Because obviously at the club at the moment, there's a bit of disdain because of the way Chancery is running the club. So sometimes anything the club put out, everyone's like, ah, fuck that. Do you know what I mean? But having someone that they respect in terms of Barry, Iorfa, some of the players that have been here for a long time.
Liam Palmer as well, yeah.
Yep. Liam and Palmer, for example, people who know the club have not always had the success that we wanted to have.
But they've got the connection with the fans, haven't they?
They've got the connection with the fans. So I think having something like that, just to, if they're going, I think use the players to try and, you know, just one, obviously, we're talking about race here, but also we've talked a little bit about some of the incidents we've had with throwing stuff at the Leeds keeper and the chance against Turkey and the Leeds fans. But having a little thing from that, from, doesn't have to be every game, but every now and then, just as a reminder. You know, I think that would be nice. I think we need to utilise that big screen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a message from the club captain and things like that. So I think I'd like to see something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I agree. I mean,
and maybe former players as well. We've got so many amazing former players coming out. You know, when they do the raffle thing, when they come and pick the ball, etc.
Yeah.
You know, they could have a little interview or something and say the importance of making sure you don't have to make it blatant, like, yes, let's kick racism out, but you can say let's enjoy the game and make sure everyone here at Hillsborough feels welcome.
Because I feel it only gets talked about when something happens. Do you know what I mean? When
then it gets brushed again.
Yeah, when it happened, you know, against Coventry, it was the big focal point, the big talking point, and then now, you know, you don't really hear from it, and then obviously now the whole talk is, you know, the tragedy chanting from the Liverpool Man United game, and obviously, you know, it happened in the Leeds game as well, but that wasn't really, you know, well documented. So that's the kind of the big in thing at the moment, and we'll have to wait until the next time it happens for it to come up again and be spoken about on national media and everything else. And like you just said, it just gets swept under the carpet, and it's not fixing the problem. That's not, you know, doing anything. Now, I don't know what's happened to the guy that obviously did the racial gesture in the Coventry game. I've not heard anything, whether he's been banned or anything like that. I don't think the club have...
I think he's going through the courts at the moment, but I know the guy that did the Brad Lowry thing, I think he got a sentence or something. But again, I feel with it there, it's just something that needs to be spoke about, because if we do this now and the club is proactive in certain measures talking about it, not just what I like to say is an allyship. If you're going to be an ally to kick it out, not be racist, you're still an ally for making sure it's her game too. You're making sure it's a welcoming area for a transgender supporter or for someone. You don't want Hillsborough to be known for Islamophobic chants, etc. You want it to be somewhere where it doesn't matter your colour, your race, your gender, anything to do with your background. When you come to Hillsborough, we're all Wednesday, which is literally what we have printed on the back of the shirt.
I think that's been lost though a little bit, Maddie. I think that, do you know what? Yeah, you're right. It is, we're all Wednesday, aren't we? That is the chant. That is, as you said, that is the five letters on the back of the shirt. But I am in recent times, I am feeling like that kind of sentiment's been lost somewhat, you know, the infighting and stuff. And one thing I want to say as well is, like, you know, when something happens in the stands, you want to be able to stand up, not just you, who perhaps, you know, feels more subjected to it, but anyone in the stands should be able to stand up and call it out for what it is. And I just feel that, you know, we need to do that together. And you shouldn't, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, you daren't do that because of who might have said it, and you don't want to cause a fuss or anything like that. Or you might feel like you're the only person that stands up to it. But I feel like we should all be able to feel confident enough to call it out as a group. And it shouldn't just be one person saying that. Everyone should be coming together to, you know, to call it out and to stop it, basically, and have no fear of something else kind of happening just because you've said something, you know, or stood up to something that you know is not right. But at the moment, I feel like, you know, I don't think people would be, but they need to be, don't they?
I understand. Yeah, again, it is nerve wracking a bit, because like I think they need to do it, and the more people that to do it, for example, the easier it will be. But if it's me and then only one other person is chirping up to try and help, then
it does make it hard.
But also, the way I'd like to see, it's a weird analogy here, but you know, in football, you've seen these people, it's a weird thing actually, people just suddenly starting collapsing in grounds. I'm seeing it a lot more, some of the away days I've been. But when you see something like that, everyone, whatever they're doing, everyone comes to the front.
Yeah.
Kids, old people, whatever. If someone were to fall down the steps in the south stand, everyone's there, right? Yeah. So it's that sort of spirit that you want. And I know, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. It's not. But if we start building a culture of that at Hillsborough or within the club, whether it's, I hope it's Danny Roll, but when he eventually leaves us because he's far too good. But, you know, if whoever's there, it's something that's, like a style of play, it's something that's associated with the club. That's what you want, because I feel it's Minnow Wednesday fan, the whole point of it is feeling well welcome. It's why you stick with them through thick and thin, you know. But then it's just, unfortunately for me, I've had a number of issues, but it's obviously spread out over the years where it's made me feel, ooh, do I want to do this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But obviously, you know what it's like. It's part of your life, isn't it? It's like you wouldn't just kick a friend to the curb. It's like it's like a family member in a way. So you always come back to it. So all I would ask from fans at the grounds or going there is, one, educate yourself, for example. So I speak to fans about the take the knee thing, and some of them are saying, oh, they don't like it because they think it's a symbol of black power or black supremacy or something, or it's to do with communism or Marxism. But if you educate yourself, you know it's a civil rights movement. It's just a modern era of it. So if you've got a problem with that, then I can't help you, because then, let's face it, you are a racist. But then you've got it to also put yourself in other shoes. So you wouldn't, if you've got kids, etc., you don't want your kids going to a game and not feeling comfortable. You want them to go there, feel comfortable, enjoy it, just like you did as a kid. you know, you want it to be there for the next generation. And then also, we spoke about it there. If you see it, hear it, call it out. Even if you have to go and speak to a steward, you know, a steward or report it, you know, some sort of thing, because then it will get kicked out eventually.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's a club that we all love. We don't want any hardship to it. It's a city that, you know, Sheffield's an amazing city to grow up in. Great times there, great friends. You just want that to continue. You want everyone to feel that belonging to the club without having to second guess, is someone going to say something racist? Is someone going to say something sexist? Is someone going to say something Islamophobic? It's Sheffield Wednesday. It's for whether you're from Sheffield or not. It's something that, like they always said, you don't choose your club chooses you. Yeah. So, and that's more for me, because I could easily have gone down Arsenal or any of those other crap clubs, but I didn't. I could have easily have done it. I could have easily have done it and done it there, but I wanted to go to the games. I wanted to see, I wanted to go on a Saturday, go to away games. And like, I'm sure you've been, there's nothing better than a pre-away day game with Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, 100%.
Now, once the game kicks off, it can go downhill pretty quick.
Yeah, especially this season, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, but again, so that's my thing. But just in terms of an example, the worst one I've ever experienced being a Wednesday fan was Peterborough away. I can't tell you. It was a toxic atmosphere. I don't know if you went, but it was extremely toxic.
I was there. Yeah, yeah.
It was toxic. You're not fit to wear the shirt, but then some of the things you heard are the back towards Darren Moore. And I'm like, okay, if we bottled it, fine, whatever. We would have gone again, maybe under him, maybe under someone else. But I don't feel that team, that manager deserved, especially Darren Moore, what he did to have to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, this is our first black manager in our history. Do you know what I mean? People wouldn't stand for them saying some horrible... This is a funny thing I find. If someone went and said some horrible German stuff to Danny Roll, someone would come out and be like, no, right?
Yeah.
I feel it'd be a lot easier for someone to come out and say, nah, I'm not having that, yeah? So what if he's German, etc. But the abuse with Darren Moore at the back, I just left because I couldn't be bothered. We're losing 4-0. We were probably going to be in League One. I was like, yeah, to drive back up to Sheffield, I'm done. Yeah?
Yeah.
But these sort of things, and we heard it there, then you go on social media and they're almost trying to justify it. I think someone called him a big monkey or something like that. And I'm like, yet I guarantee those same fans would have been at Wembley chanting his name. So...
Yeah. Do you think, Maddie, like historically, you know, black people have just, like I used that term before, kind of got used to it and just learned to get on with it? Do you think that's what's happened and why kind of, you know, why it's still being, you know, still being a problem now? And no, that is, like I say, that's just totally wrong. Do you think that's what's happened historically?
I think it's different. So I guarantee that you wouldn't find that at a club at Arsenal or QPR, for example. If that guy, I guarantee if that guy had been doing monkey, I'm not saying they don't do it down there, because they do, because they've done it to Sterling, etc., when he was playing for City against Chelsea. But it is, sometimes I feel it'd be called out more, but maybe it's because they're on Sky, they're on live TV, etc., all the time. Maybe they don't do it that way. But I do feel...
I mean, I just mean in wider society as well, you know, just in general, as a black person,
I think it's different. So what my dad would have experienced when he came to uni here, etc., and what he would have tolerated, I wouldn't tolerate. Yeah. What I tolerate today, my daughter will not tolerate. Yeah. So it's a change in that. And I think people would find something that they would thought, they maybe had black friends that didn't take offense to it, and then suddenly they're saying it today. Obviously it's changed now. People are like, I'm not going to stand for that.
Yeah.
I find it offensive. So I think that's changed with it. So there's certain things that you do sort of put up with and just be like, oh. So for example, if you've been stop and searched, but the alternative is worse. So if I get stop and searched and I kick off with the police officer, that's not going to end well for me.
Yeah.
So I just let the, I would just let it do it and try and be as polite and as possible. Massive respect for them. I know they've got a tough job to do, but I don't find that particular thing helpful because you're just stereotyping there. So
yeah,
I think in terms of society, there's a lot that they would put up with, but I think it's people are educating themselves now and seeing the history behind it and being like, right, okay, I see what that means and I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I do think education is massive. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone just decides to become a racist person. You know, I think more the way that people have been brought up. You know, I think, you know,
it is a broad thing. You mentioned then something earlier about education and people aren't taught to be racist, right? Which I thought was one that I've found. Obviously, you do inherit things. So, for example, if my black grandparents are like, you know, be wary of white people because they do this, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You may have it as well, or be wary of black people. You know, they do this, they don't care, they're violent, they're this, whatever perceptions your grandparents' parents have had, it does pass down to you. The only time it eradicates if you go to school with black Asian people, for example, and then you integrate and be like, right, those preconceptions are wrong. Right. Now, what I find when you look at education, when we're at school, we all learn about the British Empire. We all learn about Churchill and his fight him on the beaches, speeches, etc. Now, what you don't learn is, which really hurt, by the way, because I can't tell you how much any kid who's into history at school, how much you admire Churchill. Right. But he had some horrible views on the Commonwealth. Yeah, some common rules that were quite frankly racist, but then it changes your perception of it. And then you're only taught the good side of the British Empire, for example. So coming from a Commonwealth country originally, part of the British Empire, they had the African regiment that all fought in World War II, etc., the Gurkhas, we all know about this. But then you don't hear about some of the atrocities from it, but you're made to sound, obviously the British Empire did a lot of good, but it did a lot of bad at the same time, but you're not taught that.
Yeah.
So from a British point of view growing up, everything to do with Britain, our amazing history, this little island that took over the world, I know people listening would have heard that. Yeah. Little England taking over the world, etc. Founding democracy, freeing the slaves, etc. But again, they don't tell you that the British Empire and the East India Company started it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's little things like that. Like, why is England so rich now? Because a lot of our infrastructure was taken from other places. Now, I'm not saying, I just think a more rounded view of it. So it's not saying it's teaching people to be racist, but it is showing that, you know, if you're white British, you are almost, you come from better stock in a way. So as a black kid reading that and looking at it, and all you would see, unless you go and do A-level history, you just see a bunch of Africans in mud huts, pretty much.
Yeah.
And black history is just slavery. That's all you learn. And so there's certain things like that that I think the perception of it, and it might just be in the back of their minds, do you know what I mean? Because that's all they've seen. So I do feel once you educate yourselves just through reading, so for myself, I'm trying to be an advocate for the LGBTQ community. So I've read certain books, I've watched certain series just to give you that perception of it, to understand it. You know, so I think that's what I think they really need to do. If they can try and have a look at educating themselves, seeing how it is, even watching one of the series on Windrush, for example, just to have a look at that.
Yeah.
And seeing what the government did, it just gives them that idea to see what black history is, like, not just American history, what black British history is.
Yeah.
That's my view on it, that yes, it can be raised, but obviously education and interacting with people from the different backgrounds is how you get rid of those preconceptions.
Yeah. I mean, looking ahead, Maddie, you know, do you see, Do you see things, obviously, you know, we've talked about change and things like that and how things are obviously a lot different from the 80s, but, you know, it's still there and everything. Do you see things changing in the future? Have you got kind of a good, you know, you mentioned you've got a, you know, a daughter as well. You know, how old is she?
She's two.
Two,
she's
yeah. Two. So you know, she's
too young to take it. But yeah.
Yes. Has she got a Wednesday kit though? That is the question.
Oh yeah, she's got. Do you know what? I was talking to my mate Dan about. Do you remember when United got that pink away kit?
Yes.
I gave him so much stick, and then as soon as Wednesday brought it out, I went and bought it. I bought one for Liv.
She's got, you know, a lot of years ahead of her. Of course, you have as well. Yeah. You know, do you see that, you know, a positive outlook for football and kind of stamping out once and for all?
I've met lifelong friends from it. I've got a lifelong love for the club. I'll go to as many games as I can. I still, you know, when we were doing a little bit better, we went those six games unbeaten. I'm an optimist. I was thinking we're only 18 points off the playoffs. So
yes.
I do think it will improve. I'd like to see some more actions on it, not just on race. I think if you do it as one rather than just doing this, we're going to have LGBTQ this week, we're going to have this. But if it's just an overall welcoming feel for everyone, and then you can have topics on it, etc. I do feel it will improve. It's not going to stop me going to the games. I'm recently the Swansea game coming up on Good Friday, so I'm taking five of my nephews to their first game. So we're going to go there and
excellent.
So try and enjoy the game, hopefully introduce them to it, hopefully we get a win, but not going to stop me there. And I feel I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy when I go to away days, having chats with fans here, getting their point of view, trying to give them a little bit, not educate them. No one wants to be preached at, but what I'm saying is if they ask me my opinion, we're having a conversation with it, I will let them know, this is my opinion on it and this is how it may feel. So
I mean, I mean, on the whole, we've kind of, you know, obviously talked a lot about the negative aspects and stuff. But, you know, before we finish and everything, you know, I guess you do, you know, on the whole, you do feel welcomed when you're at the away games and everything else.
Yeah.
It is, you know, I know we've been talking about the fact that it's still there and it still happens, but, you know, I don't want people to go away from this and thinking like,
no, I don't
oh my
want,
God, it's yeah, absolutely horrendous. You know,
this is there. No, it's not. But I'm talking, this is incidents over 20 odd years of following Chef Wednesday.
Yeah.
And following football. It's not just Wednesday, it's following England, etc. This is not, it's not every single game. It's not that. But when it does happen,
it's course.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like I said, there's a reason you support the club because you come in, you feel welcomed, etc. You look at the history of it, and you can. I think a key thing for it as well is seeing yourself in the squad or seeing yourself in the team and feeling the representation is key.
You said you're 6'3", then I'm guessing Dom Iorfa then is probably
Dom Iorfa seeing players there. I'm just saying, obviously, when I started following Wednesday, we barely had one. You know, it might have been Wade Small or something back in the day. So, so it's just seeing yourself in it, getting associated with the club. So whether you go back to Des Walker, Carlton Palmer, or whether you're with the modern day squad, I just feel having that connection with the team, with the city, etc., does help. Now, all I would like is for the club to, not just the club, but the club and the fans, educate yourself. If you see it, call it out, and just know that, you know, it's much appreciated. There are plenty of times when I've done that there, or I've been on a train and someone's been chanting there. Someone else has, before I've shouted out, they've done it there.
Yeah.
You don't know how much that does help. So even when you're watching the game, I think Radio Sheffield, for example, is quite good with the iFollow commentary. But sometimes when you watch it and they can't, for the love of God, they can't get a player's name right, or they keep mistaking Bamba Diarmé for Iorfa. Like, Bamba Diarmé is not Iorfa. They're very different looking players.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wouldn't... sidetracking here a little bit, but I remember watching the Leicester game where I think it was the 1-1 game.
Yeah,
and the Leicester guy called Liam Palmer Lee Peltier and started talking about Lee Peltier's career. And yeah. I'm like, you're a professional commentator. It's not really acceptable. They wouldn't get that wrong with Will Volks or whatever, but, or maybe he's just a bad commentator. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, that's one thing I pride myself on. Pronunciation of players is one thing that I try and get it nailed down to a T.
I don't even mind if they get it wrong, because say the game's flowing fast and it's like, great tackle by Diarmé. Oh no, that's Iorfa. Fine. You know, people are human and make mistakes, but to blatantly get it wrong and Lee Peltier, who doesn't play for the club and never has.
Yes.
Just insane.
Yeah, crazy. Right, before we do finish then, Maddie, let's bring it to, football on the pitch at the moment, how it's happening right now. 8 games to go as we sit down and record this, obviously, just before the international break. How do you feel it's going to pan out this end of the season? You mentioned being quite positive, and you know, you were even looking at the playoffs at one bit. I'm guessing you're going to say, yeah, we're easily going to stay up.
I think we'll take it to the wire. I think I'm hoping we'll do what we did, pretty much a reversal of the Derby County away game. I think we'll take it to the wire because of our goal difference, but win on the last day and that will see us through. I do think we'll stay up. I think as long as we keep pace with the other teams, yeah. But it's getting twitchy.
Yeah,
it's getting very, very twitchy. So, no, I'm confident we'll stay up. I think the Ipswich and Leeds game were 2 anomalies. I won't go into that, but I feel we've got a few games. Swansea don't have all to play with. Middlesbrough away, tough. West Brom's not looking bright either. But apart from that, I think we can get some wins in there.
Yeah.
I just hope Barry Bannon and Poveda are back.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it? Poveda's put a little post on Instagram where he's kind of in some sort of gym. I mean, I wish they'd have cleaned the mirrors because they were shocking. but it doesn't look great, saying come back better and better and stronger. Which, there's not long left of the season either, is it? When you look at it, it's probably, 7 weeks, I think it is?
No, but on a brighter note, I wish we could have seen Windass and Poveda together, but if Windass is back for those last games, we still have that bit of a spark. So there are, like I said, silver linings to it. I think we'll stay up, but I think we'll probably take it to the wire.
Great stuff. Maddie, massive thanks for coming on, mate. Really, really appreciate it. Like I said at the top, it is something that needs to be talked about a lot more than what it is. And, we can't just wait for incidents to happen to talk about these things, again, massive thanks for coming on. And I just kind of echo what you said, really. If you see it in the stands, if your mates put it in your WhatsApp group chats or anything like that, any sort of racial slurs or anything, just call it out. Just call it out for what it is, and let's help stop it and help stamp it out from from the game of, not just the game of football, but just from society in itself. And let's make it, let's make football just walking out in the streets just a place where anyone can do it without the fear of something happening, But yeah, Maddie, massive thanks, mate, for coming on. Really, really appreciate it.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.